Hey everyone, welcome to Torah Mecha Parsha. This week we're up to Parshas Bahar. This is the last section in Sefer VaYikra, the last section in the second half of the Sefer as well. We started the second half of the Sefer in Parshat Achirima with Kedushat Adam and the Araya, and it leads into Parshat Kedoshim, all the interpersonal mitzvot. And then it gets into Kedushat Zman, which was last week's Parsha of Emor and the Mawadim. And now in Parshat Bahar, we get into the last section about Kedushat Makom, meaning to bring all of the Kedusha from the first half of the Sefer into who we are as people, then into our time, and then starting in this week's Parsha, into our place, our space, our environment. And that's actually the entire topic of Parshas Bahar. The entire parsha is about only one thing, and that's about Shemitah and Yovel. There's mitzvot that come up that are related and tangential to the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel, but really the entire parsha is about that one topic. And right at the outset of the parsha, there's a question that all of the mefarshim grapple with. Starts out, V'yidaber Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai l'Emor. Hashem spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai l'Emor. That's actually the most popular parsha, pasuk in the Torah. Hashem spoke to Moshe l'Emor. And over here, the Mefarshim struggle. Why all of a sudden does the Torah tell us that he spoke to Moshe b'har Sinai? He was giving him this mitzvah at Har Sinai. The opening of Sefer VaYikra begins that Hashem speaks to Moshe b'ol hamoed in the Mishkan, and all of a sudden we're told that this mitzvah was given at Har Sinai. So Rashi gives a very well-known answer. He says, oh, just like this mitzvah, Parshas Bahar is actually unique. The mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel goes into every single detail over here in Torah Shebichtav. Every last derivative of the mitzvah is written down in the Torah Shebichtav. And Rashi tells us, just like we have every last part of the mitzvah written over here, and that was all given at Har Sinai, so too, all of the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai in all of their glory, even though they're not all written in Torah Shebichtav. So Torah Shebichtav, everything that we have is Doraisa, but even the things that were given to us in Torah Shebaal Peh orally, they're almost like the cliff notes to the Torah Shebichtav. Hashem told Moshe to write down certain things, and other things he gave to him as an explanation to be handed down from mouth to mouth through the generations. But it's just as much Doraisa as the things that were written down in the Torah Shebichtav. And over here, though, the entire mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel was given to Moshe to be written down in the Torah Shebichtav. And so Rashi is telling us that just like we have this mitzvah given b'chol pratotah, b'chol dikdukah, b'chol klalotah, every single part of the mitzvah was given at Har Sinai, all the mitzvah, even though we don't have all of the details written in the Torah Shebichtav, they were also given in all their glory at Har Sinai. Just let's say, for example, Shabbos. Shabbos, it's not all written in Torah Shebichtav. We have Zochor Shem Shabbos Akacho, Shamor Shem Shabbos Akacho. We have a few examples like Lo Tavaru Eish, not to start a fire on Shabbos. But the Lametet Melachot, the 39 prohibitive actions and really categories of prohibited work. So those are spelled out for us not in Torah Shebichtav, only in Torah Shebaal Peh. But they're just as much Doraisa as all of these mitzvot of Shemitah. And so that's what Rashi is teaching us, that the Shemitah is the prototype, which is telling us that actually all the mitzvot were given in all of their glory also at Har Sinai. So the question that we have on Rashi is clear, meaning we could have learned that principle from any mitzvah, meaning why not have an entire perek over here about Shabbos? Why not have all the laws of Kashrus? Why not have a different mitzvah written in all of their glory? Yidaber Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai l'Emor, and then go into all the details of Shabbos or Kashrus or Taharas HaMashpacha or some other mitzvah, and we don't need to learn about it in Torah Shebaal Peh. So why do we have Shemitah as the example teaching us this very big principle? So in order to understand that, we need to go through the explanations of what's the purpose of this mitzvah of Shemitah. So The Mefarshim have a lot of different explanations. The Psukim themselves in the Pshat tell us different explanations. There should be an awareness. The Psukim tell us Kili Kol Haaretz, that the land belongs to Hashem, or Ki Avadayim, the slaves go free, and we should know that we don't really belong to anyone else, we only belong to Hashem. Mefarshim go into different explanations. The Rambam gives Kedarko Bakodesh, very practical, rational explanation. He says the reason for Shemitah is for the land itself, meaning it's actually good and it's been proven scientifically as well. Not like we need that, but the Rambam explains that it's actually good for the land to let it lay fallow every 7 years, that it will actually produce more if you give it every 7 years, a whole year where you don't work it. And he gives another explanation also, that it's like Chemla B'nai Adam, that it's out of mercy for mankind. Hashem gives us this mitzvah that now all of a sudden all of the poor people are able to take from all of the fields that are hefker and ownerless in the Shemitah year, and they're able to benefit from that. So that's how the Rambam explains, and others struggle with the Rambam because there's a very big punishment for not keeping Shemitah. The punishment for not keeping Shemitah is very appropriate, meaning you didn't honor the Kedusha of Eretz, so then you get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. And the Mefarshim talk about how the 70 years of Galus Babel are actually exactly parallel to the 70 cycles of Shemitah that B'nai Yisrael didn't keep. And so the Kedus Yitzchak questions the Rambam's approach. Why would we be worthy of such a terrible punishment just because we didn't let the land lay fallow and we didn't give it the best farming, you know, to allow it to produce the most produce? So that doesn't match up. So he instead says that the purpose of Shemitah is Limnoa Tan Miribo Esa Kazman, to kind of prevent us from wasting our time getting so involved, like in working, to hold us back, and actually would be fit well with the answer of the Kli Yakar. And the Sefer Chinuch also speaks about this approach, that the purpose of Shemitah is to strengthen our bitachon in Hashem, meaning a person could get so caught up in working, in their career, in their job, in their farming, and they think that all of their success is coming from them. And the purpose of Shemitah is to remind a person that it's really all coming from Hashem, to strengthen that approach. And it's very along the same lines of what the Messias Hashem tells us in the Ramchal. He writes that it's the tricky balance between hishtadlus and bitachon, between putting effort into our work and advancing our careers and making sure that we're taking care of our health and our wealth and all of the other myriad responsibilities that we have. So balancing that hishtadlus with the knowledge and the feeling that it's really coming from Hashem, what's going to happen. So the Ramchal writes in Maseiras Hashem that the balance is knowing Lo she'hishtadlus ma'aleil ela shehu mufrach, meaning when I put in all of the work, I have to know that it's not what's helping me, but it's mufrach. It's not ma'aleil. It's not what's helping me, but it's mufrach. It's what I'm forced to do. And there's a lot of different explanations about why Hashem put it into the fabric of the world that we need to put in hishtadlus. It could be it's just coming from the tax of Adam HaRishon. That's the Bezer Pechatoch Alachem, that's the punishment. After Adam HaRishon sins, now he has to work the land, and that's his punishment. The Ramchal also talks about how really it's also, it could be it's for our benefit. That way we feel like there's this big thing that has to get done. We have to take care of our health, or we have to put bread on the table. So, well, I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. So Hashem doesn't need our help to put the bread on the table. He doesn't need our help to make sure we're healthy. But I would feel like I would feel silly sitting back and doing nothing. So Hashem, for to almost make us feel better, tells us, okay, you could go to work, you could go do this, but really he doesn't need our help. And so the Ramchal writes that the purpose of Hishtadlus is really, another purpose is like almost to mask Hashem, meaning to give us the bechira chashis, to it keeps Hashem hidden. If it would be so obvious that Hashem is the one providing for us and giving to us and making sure that everything works out in this world, it would be so easy to choose the correct choices in life and to serve Him. And so instead, we have this whole idea of Hishtadlus, where we go to work, where we take care of our health, where we have to do a lot of things, and we're actually supposed to really put our all into those things. And that keeps Hashem hidden, and that's what allows us to have free will. But we have to know, and that's what's so hard about it, it's almost like cognitive dissonance. We have to like go to work and put a lot of effort into a lot of different things, but I have to know that it's not coming from me. It's almost like a big fat zero. I have to do all this hard work, but I have to know that the success is coming from Hashem. And that's what Shemitah exactly is coming to teach us, that even though I have to go through all this hard work in life to advance all these things, I have to know that it's not coming from me, it's coming from Hashem. And it's a big fat zero. I need to do it and I have to put in the effort, but I have to know that in the end of the day, it's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu that is allowing my success or even the failure. A lot of people work very hard and they're not successful. Other people don't work very hard and they are successful, meaning it's because it's not from him or her, it's coming from Hashem above. So that's how the Kli Yakar explains the reason for Shemitah and the Sefer Chinuch as well. The Ramban actually has a different explanation. He says, if you look at he doesn't say this, but it's commenting on the words, the entire Parsha is all about Shemitah and Yovel, and not once does it say the word Shemitah in the entire Parsha, any conjugation of that word either. The only way that Shemitah is referred to in this Parsha Bahar is through the word Shabbos, that it's a Shabbat LaHashem. And he says the idea behind Shemitah, he says, is that the secrets of the world rest in this mitzvah of Shemitah. And the same reason why we keep Shabbos is also why we keep Shemitah. One reason, the Shabbos doesn't mean to rest. Shabbos actually means to stop. And just like we have to stop every 7 days to remind ourselves that this world is not where it's at, but this world is just a prelude to the next world. It's a corridor, it's a prosdor, like we talked about in Pirkei Avos. And one day it's going to stop, and Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba to remind us that one day we're coming to the time when we're going to stop for good. And whatever I prepared in this world, that's what I'll have in the next world. Just like whatever I prepared Erev Shabbos, that's all I'm going to have on Shabbos. And so it's not enough to remind ourselves of that every 7 days. It's so critical that that we inculcate that idea into our heads and our hearts, that we're in this world. This world is not where it's at. We're B'nai Olam Haba. We're heading to eternity, and this world is just a preparation for that world to grab eternity, to grab mitzvahs, to work on our midot, to fix our hearts, to complete our hearts. But we get so caught up in the 6 days of work. We get so caught up in the 6 years of work. We need Shabbos to remind us one day we're going to stop. One day, like, we're going to reach that place of the Asadava, and that's Shabbos. And so Rabban talks about that idea. I want to focus on one other approach. Suggest that maybe this is what the Evan Ezra is alluding to when we see Shemitah actually referred to by its name, not in this parsha, but later on in Sefer Devarim, when the Torah is speaking about the mitzvah of Hakel, where he talks about B'moed Shnat HaShemitah, the Pesukim speak about how at the end of the Shemitah year, at the culmination of the Shemitah year, on the 8th year, which is also the first year of the new cycle. So there's a mitzvah of Hakka where all of Klal Yisrael gathers by the Beis HaMikdash and the Melech reads the Torah to everyone. It's almost a simulation of Har Sinai, actually. And they read the whole Torah, and the Eben Ezra comments that the purpose of that is that that's what they should have been doing all year on Shabbos, like the Shabbos of Shemitah, and that's what they should be continuing to do after Hakal as well. Meaning the purpose of Shemitah, what are they doing? All these farmers close up their fields, the doctor closes his practice, the businessman closes, the shops close. Everyone just sits home and twiddles their thumbs. So the culmination of the Shemitah year is Hakel, the learning Torah, because that's what we should be doing all year. And actually, this is what happens here in Eretz Yisrael, that when the farmers close their fields, they open up kolels, they sit and learn. And that's the purpose of Shemitah. Shemitah is this unbelievable experience where everyone goes back to learn. Everyone reminds themselves, like, what we're here for in life. We're here in life to grow in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to keep learning. And that actually, to me, may be an explanation why Shemitah is the example for us. Ma'inyan Shemitah Etzel HaSinai. Why is Shemitah the mitzvah chosen to teach us that just like Shemitah was given with all of its details and in all of its glory, so too all the other mitzvahs were given in all of their glory at Har Sinai, because Shemitah is like a little mini Har Sinai experience. Shemitah, just like at Har Sinai, we had such clarity about why we're in this world. It was crystal clear. Hashem is revealing himself to a million and a half Jews. There's mass revelation. There's no denying that this is the truth of the world, and Hashem is the creator and sustainer of the entire universe. And it was, and that was enough to keep us going till today. Har Sinai, Shemitah is meant to be that mini Har Sinai experience where we re-clarify for ourselves what we're doing in this world, why I'm here, like what the purpose of my existence is. I got so caught up for 6 years, running, like climbing the corporate ladder, or running around taking care of all my expenses, and I forgot like what I'm really here for. So today we don't have like farmers so much in Jewish society, a little bit, but not, it's not as prevalent as it used to be. But the idea of Shemitah is that we, every 7 years, to stop and to go back to learn, to go back to re-clarify for ourselves, to regain that clarity of what we're doing in this world. And that ensures for us Kedushat Makom. That's what Kedushat Makom is. That makes our environment one that is, the atmosphere is about our relationship with Hashem. The atmosphere and the place and the space where we're living is one that is constantly connected and growing in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should all be zochah to that. Have a beautiful Shabbos.